Las mañanas son más productivas con Richard Vaughan.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Hello, good morning, and welcome. Monday, here we are together. Once again, you and me, we spend a lot of time together. And now it's 7:30 in the morning on a Monday. Monday the 24th of May. It's a good day. It's a good week. A full week of a lot of productive work. So wake up, sleepyhead. What are you doing in bed? Get up, get up, get up. If you're in your car, all right, welcome. Don't fall asleep at the wheel. And pay attention to the traffic. Listen to me or hear my voice. Allow my voice to penetrate your ear, but pay attention to the traffic. Some people have told me that they don't pay sufficient attention to the traffic when they're listening to my radio show. So I don't want you to have an accident, so don't pay too much attention to me. And this first half hour, I'm going to devote it to the horrible subject of phonetics. So, no, please, not again, not again. Yes, but not everything in life is fun and games. Not everything in life is fun and games. Diversión y juegos. Not everything in life is fun and games. So, I have to keep reminding you. I have to no parar de recordaros o recordarte. I have to keep reminding you of the importance of certain phonetic sounds to facilitate your English. The question is not necessarily to pronounce better. I mean, it's good, and the better you pronounce the language, well, the better, of course. But it's to make the phonetics more easy for you to reproduce. Or simply to make you aware. Some people are simply not aware. Some of my students are asleep. All their life, I get the impression that they simply don't register what I teach. They simply don't. It's not a question that they don't assimilate. It just doesn't even penetrate. It doesn't penetrate through their skull. Skull is cranium. It just doesn't go in. They enjoy listening to me or having class with me because it's fun, but it doesn't penetrate. They don't assimilate what I teach. And they make the same mistakes for 13 years. People is, or juar. I have my hat on my head instead of I have my hat on my head. And they don't really concentrate and try to do better. They don't. I get the impression they're asleep. And they've been sleeping since the day they were born. And they need somebody to hit them on the head really hard and wake them up. I think on a few occasions in my life I have been able to wake some people up, but I had to be pretty radical and pretty. I had to shout to do it. I had to get angry, and it unhinged them. I had to unhinge them. To hinge is un gozneo, una bisagra. De puertas o ventanas. Hinge. Now, to unhinge is this, unhinge. But unhinge means quitar las bisagras, eso, desgoznar, dice. También dice sacar de quicio. No, to unhinge. Well, yes. But in this case, I mean, I really have to do something unusual, radical, strong, super strong to, for these people to wake up in their life. And in these cases, often they just fall in love with English, and wow, then you see something different. But you have to really hit them hard on the head, not physically, figuratively. Boom. And nobody has ever done that. Nobody. I mean, they appreciate me, and they like me, and then when I really hit them on the head really hard, they are aturdidos, psicológicamente. Yeah, how do you say aturdido? in English. They're dazed. Dazed, yes. Bewildered. Bueno, bewildered is desorientado. Aturdido es un poco más. Dazed. And sometimes they wake up. Say, hey, welcome to the real world. You've been getting by por la mínima. How do you say? La ley del mínimo esfuerzo. Enjoying life. And they enjoy my classes because they're fun. Not because they really want to improve their English. I mean, they say and they think they want to improve their English, but they're not awake. They're asleep. So, in any case, let's go to the wonderful, exciting, absolutely delicious effort to improve your pronunciation. Our distinguished shareholders are sure that Shapiro will publish the short version. Really? Nuestros distinguidos accionistas. Wow. ¿De qué están seguros? Well, our distinguished shareholders, accionistas, shareholders, el tenedor, holder, portador, tenedor de acciones, shareholder. Our distinguished shareholders are sure that Shapiro, es el apellido, Shapiro, yeah, that Shapiro will publish the short version. Je suis version. The short version. Shapiro hasn't decided whether to publish the long version or the short version. Now, the shareholders are sure that Shapiro will end up publishing the short version. And of course, our shareholders are very distinguished. All right. Distinguidos. Yes. So, fishermen collect seashells when the moon is shining. Only when the moon is shining. That's right. You see, it's easier to collect seashells under the moonlight than during the day. You can see the shells more clearly because they reflect the moonlight. Yeah. They reflect the light of the moon. Los pescadores coleccionan conchas de mar cuando la luna está brillando. Vamos. When the moon is shining. Moonshine. Yes. Moonshine. Moonshine. Sunshine is luz de sol. Luz solar. Sunshine. But moonshine is luz de luna. Now, but moonshine has a second meaning. It's whiskey ilegal. Moonshine. And they make moonshine in the mountains, in the Appalachian Mountains in Kentucky, Tennessee, West Virginia, North Carolina. Yeah, it's interesting. Moonshine. Moonshine. Let's see what they say in Spanish for moonshine. Alcohol destilado ilegalmente. Mira tú. Aguardiente casero. All right. And it's true, moonshine. That's what sometimes you see that in the movies. You see hillbillies, los paletos del bosque, de los bosques, del monte arriba. They see hillbillies and they have a destilación. They have these big artilugios, these big apparati, and they are making whiskey. And they're called moonshine because they usually operate the distilling equipment at night when the police are not, well, police or any type, the sheriffs or the deputies are not near. They don't go into the forest at night. And so they work in the moonlight when the moon is shining. And that's why the illegal whiskey is called moonshine. I've never tried moonshine, I think. The marshal and the sheriff shot the shoplifter in the shoulder. Wow. Both together? Two? So, the shoplifter was shot twice, I assume. You said the marshal and the sheriff shot the shoplifter in the shoulder. All right, shoulders al hombro, claro. And to shoot is disparar. Un arma de fuego. Shoot. Well, you can shoot an arrow. O una flecha. I shot an arrow in the air where it came down, I know not where. Shoplifter is un ladrón de tiendas. Sobre todo. Well, no. A shoplifter is any type of person who steals from, for example, the Corte Inglés has used to have. Now I don't know. I think they have better means of controlling that. To shoplift. Shoplift. Se levantar de las tiendas. Hurta, hurto. De una tienda. Robar. Yes. If you go, some people are kleptomaniacs. Are you a kleptomaniac? Kleptomaniaco. I think you say the same in Spanish, right? Kleptomaniac. Yes, kleptomania. Kleptomania. Are you a kleptomaniac? My God, kleptomaniac is spelled with a K in Spanish, in English. I didn't remember that. I've never written that word in my life. And I've just realized or just remembered that kleptomania and kleptomaniac in English is spelled with a K. Well, what do you know? ¿Qué cosas? Bueno, dicen, bueno, ¿qué cosas? En inglés solemos muchas veces decimos, what do you know? What do you know? Literalmente, pero hay que entonar así. What do you know? Pues mira tú. ¿Qué cosas? ¿Será posible? All right. A shoplifter. Now, a shoplifter is a person who steals in the shop. If you remember the movie. Oh, I can't remember the name of the movie. With Liza Minnelli, and she's shoplifting in a very nice shop. And what's his name? Oh, Dudley Moore. Sees it. It's a cool, it was a really good movie to tell. Dudley Moore was a very good comedian, an actor, in Dudley Moore. Liza Minnelli. Arthur, Arturo, that was the name. It was 1981. If you haven't seen the movie, it's worth seeing. Arturo el Soltero de Oro is the name in Spanish. It's a really good movie. Dudley Moore became very popular in the United States thanks to that movie and, of course, the movie Tin with Bo Derek. He, before that, was a very popular comedian in the UK. He softened his English accent a little bit, and but he was really good, really, really good. I miss him. He died quite young, Dudley Moore. He must have been about 60 maybe when he died. I don't remember. And how he died, I don't remember. Let's find out. Dudley Moore, he died at the age of 66 in New Jersey. He was born in London, Charing Cross. Okay. But I think he died of cancer, but I really don't know. He was a very good pianist and a good musician. Very, very good. Let's see, illness and death. In April 1977, after spending 5 days in a New York hospital, Moore was informed that he had calcium deposits in the basal ganglia of his brain and irreversible frontal lobe damage. Wow, that sounds technical. I'm not sure what that is. In September 1977, he underwent quadruple coronary artery bypass surgery in London. He also suffered 4 strokes. Poor guy. In September 1999, it's 2 years later, he announced that he was suffering from the terminal degenerative brain disorder, progressive supranuclear palsy, a Parkinson's plus syndrome. Wow, it's complicated, eh? All right. And he died in 2002 as a result of pneumonia, which was caused by his... But this guy was really, really good. And he was a wonderful pianist. Really a very, very capable and a very, very talented man. So, shall we continue? Yes, the marshal and the sheriff shot the shoplifter in the shoulder. Marshal means mariscal. Field marshal is mariscal de campo. Marshal. Now, in the Old West, el marshal, venía al pueblo. Marshal was the representative of the federal government based in Washington, D.C., in territories that were not yet states. Today, the equivalent of the marshals is the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. But at that time, the law of Washington, D.C. was invested in the marshals. But there weren't enough marshals to cover so much area. The United States is very big. Now, every town had a sheriff, and they named a local person or hired somebody from outside to come and to be the sheriff. And if the sheriff needed a helper, that helper was called a deputy. And the sheriff deputized the deputy. So you remember the Bob Marley song, "I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot the deputy. I shot the sheriff." Bob Marley, later, Eric Clapton made a version of the same song. And it's a wonderful song to teach the verb to shoot. For me, I mean, for my classes. Shoot, shot. I shot, pasado simple, but I didn't shoot. Pasado simple, pero negative. I shot the sheriff, but I didn't shoot the deputy. All right. I don't know the rest of the song. So the marshal and the sheriff, juntos, la ley territorial y la ley local. The marshal and the sheriff shot the shoplifter in the shoulder, which means they didn't kill the shoplifter. They simply immobilized him or her. Yes. Yes. The shiny goldfish found shelter in the shallow marshes. Ah. Oh. The shiny goldfish. Ah, oh, pececitos de oro relucientes que brillaba. ¿Dónde encontraban cobijo? En las ciénagas someras. En las zonas someras de la zona pantanosa. Marsh. Marsh means pantano or ciénaga. Marsh. I'm not sure if there's a better word for marsh. Marshes. The marsh. M-A-R-S-H. Pantano y ciénaga marjal. That's new for me. Marjal. Marisma. All right. All right. Marsh. So, in the marshes, the shallow marshes. Yes. Where did the shiny goldfish find shelter? The shiny goldfish. A goldfish is un pez dorado. Esos pequeños. How do you say goldfish? I think you say pez de oro or something like that. I don't know. Goldfish. Pez dorado. All right, if you remember, a fish called Wanda, you know, that movie from the 1990s with John Cleese and Jamie Lee Curtis and Kevin Kline and other actors from the Monty Python group. Brilliant movie. But there's a moment in which Kevin Kline begins to eat the goldfish from the aquarium. Oh, my God, what a movie. And it's quite funny. And so we get goldfish. Now, goldfish could be one or several because the word fish is singular and plural. We don't say fishes, although you will hear it sometimes. There are a lot of fishes in my, but it's not correct English. Fish. So in this case, I think it's several goldfish. Maybe a school, un banco de peces dorados. The shiny, que brillaban mucho, por eso shiny. The shiny goldfish found shelter. Shelter is cobijo, refugio. Shelter. Have you ever heard of the shelter people? The shelter people? Well, the shelter people are from Tulsa, Oklahoma. The shelter people. Yeah. And you go into Google Images and you'll see pictures of Leon Russell, Leon Russell, and the shelter people. And they were from Tulsa. Leon Russell was a Tulsa boy, a little bit older than me, but he was a very, very good musician, very good songwriter, a brilliant musician. But a little bit, he was a cool guy. He was not really interested in fame and fortune. He was just interested in making cool music. Leon Russell. He died only a few years ago. Well, I think quite a few years ago. Leon Russell. W-S-E-L-L al final. Leon Russell. Tulsa boy. I didn't know him personally. Leon Russell. Born in 1942, so he was about 10 years older than I was. He was an American musician and songwriter. All right. Who was involved with numerous best-selling pop music records during his 60-year career. He died at the age of 74, 5 years ago, in 2016. He's a member of the Grammy Hall of Fame. Lee, quite a character. Quite a character means todo un personaje. Quite a character. Siempre con quite. Quite a character. Un personaje curioso. Quite a character. You see, look at pictures of Leon Russell. Yes. And he was a Tulsa boy. Tulsa, where I spent 9 years, 9.5 years living, was a pretty cool city, to tell you the truth. I'm glad I spent my adolescence in Tulsa. Very healthy city, in my opinion. It was a rich city, to tell you the truth. It was rich because it was founded on oil. They discovered oil in the early 20th century. And that oil, well, made Tulsa grow very fast. And there were a lot of... Tulsa has produced a lot of interesting music. There are certain types of musical genres typical of Tulsa. I mean, if you put Tulsa, musical, géneros, genres, you'll find them. Yes, it's Sonido Tulsa, Tulsa Sound. The Tulsa Sound is a popular musical style that originated in Tulsa, Oklahoma, during the second half of the 20th century. It's a mix of rockabilly, country rock and country, rock and roll, swamp rock, well, rock de los... de las ciénagas, and blues. All right. Some of the famous people, Leon Russell, J.J. Cale, Roy Clark. Wow, he's very, very famous. Roy Clark, incredible guitarist, Roy Clark. Roy Clark, where was he born? In Virginia, not in Tulsa. But the Tulsa Sound, he's an incredible guitarist. And I remember watching Roy Clark play Malagueña. Malagueña, which in the United States people say Malagueña. All right. So, the shiny goldfish found shelter in the shallow marshes. Not with Leon Russell and the shelter people. She abolished the dictatorship through a shrewd government shakeup. Okay, that's pretty... She must be very intelligent. If she can abolish a dictatorship through a shrewd government shakeup, she must be made of interesting stuff. A government shakeup is what they call here crisis de gobierno or something like that. Shakeup. Shake is agitar. Now, a shake-up, reestructuración. Y se usa mucho, ¿eh? A shake-up. Pero es una reorganización o reestructuración donde, ¡boh! Mucho cambio, ¿eh? A shake-up. Often it catches people by surprise. There was a shake-up in my organization. I fired 3 people, hired 2 new ones, and transferred 4 others in 1 week. Now, that's a shake-up. Porque agitas. All right. A shake-up. Now, in this case, the case of this lady, what did she do? She abolió la dictadura. How can you abolish a dictatorship? Well, if you're shrewd means astuto, astuta in Castilla, a shrewd government shake-up. And through her shrewd government shake-up, she abolished the dictatorship. Mucha SH aquí. Yes, she abolished the dictatorship through a shrewd government shakeup. Cinco SHs aquí. All right. The dishes shouldn't be washed with shampoo. Come on. Have you ever washed dishes with shampoo? I haven't. I wash my hair with shampoo, but I don't wash dishes with shampoo. I've never washed dishes with shampoo. The dishes shouldn't. Los platos no deberían ser lavados con champú. All right, the dishes shouldn't be washed with shampoo. I'm exaggerating the SH simply para mentalizarte, to try to get you, to make you aware, to feel the power and the depth of the English SH. But I'm not going to do any more today because I have run out of time in this first half hour. But I'll be right back. Don't go away.
Si tienes un smartphone o una tablet, no tienes excusas. Descarga ya nuestra app de Vaughan Radio y podrás escuchar nuestra radio en directo, enviarnos tus tweets, conocer nuestra parrilla, acceder a nuestros podcasts y enterarte de todas las novedades de Vaughan. Aprende inglés en cualquier momento y en cualquier lugar con la app de Vaughan Radio.
I have personally taught 2,000 people. I have supervised the teaching of more than 50,000. I know what works and I know what doesn't work. The secret is the motivation of the student. It's the student who learns the language. It's the student who solves the problem. However, the catalyst, el culpable del bien, is the Vaughan method and the Vaughan teacher. We transform the student into our accomplice, nuestro cómplice, cómplice en el crimen de aprender inglés de verdad.
Este curso tus hijos se volverán locos por el inglés. Tráelos a nuestro Club Junior y vendrán a clase locos de contentos. En el Club Junior aprenden inglés mientras se divierten. Infórmate sobre las clases de nuestro Club Junior en el 91-133-5832 o en grupovaughan.com.
Haz una pausa y disfruta mejorando, aprendiendo con tu curso trimestral por videoconferencia. Con todo el dinamismo e intensidad de una clase Vaughan en una plataforma rápida y de fácil instalación. Por fin llega tu mejor momento del día. Cursos trimestrales por videoconferencia. Haz tu reserva en el 91-133-5833. 91-133-5833.
Gain fluency. Gain fluency with Richard Vaughan. I wrote this book last summer in fall. It's a very, very simple book. Very straightforward. But it's a very, very powerful book. It will triple your fluency and effectiveness when you speak. However, it's designed only for those people who truly want to make big progress. And to make big progress, you have to work hard. Before you buy the book, read the instructions. If they terrify you, if they horrify you, or if you refuse to subscribe to my philosophy, don't buy it. Don't buy the book. Don't waste your money. But if you are willing to make the effort, if you are willing to join me in the journey from point A to point B, you will witness a miracle. Hard work produces more miracles than any other strategy or approach. Gain fluency with Richard Vaughan.
Prueba el método Vaughan con nuestro curso trimestral. Elige entre nuestra modalidad presencial o por videoconferencia. Y el resto, déjanoslo a nosotros. 3 meses de listening y speaking con los mejores profesores del mercado. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan.
Sí, dígame.
Ahora tu profesor Vaughan desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los 3 planes de formación en grupovaughan.com/clases telefónicas.
Nuestros campamentos este año tienen un extra de diversión. Tanto si buscas un planazo de ciudad o darles un verano de multiaventura en inglés, tenemos un plan diseñado donde el aprendizaje y la diversión van de la mano. Más información en grupovaughan.com. Para más información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833 y te ayudaremos con lo que necesites. 91-133-5833.
You're listening to Richard Vaughan Live.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome back to our second half hour of Richard Vaughn Live, the morning edition, Monday. Today's Monday, 8 o'clock in the morning. A good time to start your day. Half an hour ago was an even better time to start your day. And to tell you the truth, in my opinion, an hour ago, 7 a.m. was an even better time to start your day. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise, and a woman as well. So, but women are more creatures of the night, and men are usually more creatures of the day. Creaturas nocturnas y diurnas. But nevertheless, getting up early, it's 8 o'clock, so what shall we do? Well, the only thing that occurs to me, the only thing that occurs, the verb is occur, to occur, occur, and the pronunciation of la O, de ocurrir, O, the O is like an U, a table, a book, a chair, a person, a class, occur, occur, that's how we pronounce it, occur, no se me ocurrió, it didn't occur to me. Nunca se me había ocurrido. It had never occurred to me. And it never occurred to me that you could really need to improve your English. Okay, fine. Okay, 10 questions. Ask me 10 questions and I will answer you with short answers. Richard, have you ever broken your wrist? No, I haven't. Is there a wall calendar in your kitchen? Yes, there is. Did the French Revolution take place in the late 18th century? Yes, it did. Was the wheel invented by the Egyptians? No, it wasn't. Do you blush when you feel embarrassed? Yes, I do. Are you supposed to shake a bottle of champagne before opening it? No, you're not. Has there ever been a century without war? No, there hasn't. Do you need a shovel if you want to dig a hole? Not necessarily. Has your house ever been broken into? No, it hasn't. Are candles made of wax? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. All right. Have you ever broken your wrist? No, I haven't. Is there a wall calendar in your kitchen? Yes, there is. Did the French Revolution take place in the late 18th century? Yes, it did. Was the wheel invented by the Egyptians? No, it wasn't. Do you blush when you feel embarrassed? Yes, I do. Are you supposed to shake a bottle of champagne before opening it? No, you're not. Has there ever been a century without war? No, there hasn't. Do you need a shovel if you want to dig a hole? No, you don't. It might help, but no. Has your house ever been broken into? No, it hasn't. Are candles made of wax? Yes, they are. Okay, have you ever broken your wrist? No, thank God. My wrist. I have two wrists. Which one? My left wrist or my right wrist? Okay. Have you ever broken your left wrist? No. My left wrist, no. No, I haven't. And your right wrist? Tampoco. It reminds me of that, I don't know, un chiste gallego, un chiste sobre, I don't know, but I can't remember how it goes. Chiste, maybe I can find it. Chiste gallego, vacas, cual, I don't remember. I can't remember how it goes. Maybe I can find it. Yes. Let's see. Nope. I can't find it. But a person is walking through the country in Galicia and encounters a farmer with two cows. One cow is white and the other cow is black, for example. I can't remember how the joke goes. But the person says, do your cows give milk? And the man, the gallego, says, which one, the black one or the white one? Well, the black one, yes. And the white one, también. And they, okay, well, which cow is, I don't know, over 5 years old? Which one? That? And it goes on and on. It's a funny joke, but I can't remember how it really goes. But very typical. They say the Gallegos, the Galicians are that way. I don't know. I've been to Galicia many, many times in my life, and I know a lot of people from Galicia. I like them. I like Galicia. But I'm not familiar enough to be able to say Galicians are this way or that way. The accent, yes. It's a little of a sing-song accent. Yes. It'd go up and down. It's nice. So, I've never broken my wrist. I've never broken a bone in my body. Thank God. I think my body, when I was a kid, when I was a little boy and then a teenager, adolescent, young adult, my bones were made of rubber. I played in a lot of sports in which you can easily break a bone, easily, especially American football. And I played American football without pads and with pads. Pads means the typical protections you see American football players wearing. But I also played American football with friends. In this case, we didn't wear anything except normal clothing for sports. But I never broke a bone in my body, so I've been lucky up to now at least. Maybe I'll break a bone someday. Who knows? Who knows? But in any case, so I've never broken my wrist. I've never broken my ankle. Tu tío se ha roto un tobillo una vez? Has your uncle ever broken his ankle? My uncle's ankles have never been broken, so my uncle has never broken his ankle. Is there a wall calendar in your kitchen? Yes, there is. Do you use it? Me, no. But there's a wall calendar in my kitchen. Yes, on the wall. with writing on it, reminders and things, but it's not for me. So, yes, there's a wall calendar in my kitchen. All right. Have you seen it today? Well, I've been in my kitchen today, this morning, before starting this class, before coming here and doing this. I was in my kitchen, but I didn't look at the calendar. I didn't even pay attention. Maybe it's not there now. I just didn't notice. But sometimes you notice things if they're not there suddenly. Suddenly they're not there. So, whatever. But in any case, there is a wall calendar. We have a table calendar, a computer calendar, a wall calendar. All right. Did the French Revolution take place in the 18th century? Yes, sir. Everybody knows that. The French Revolution started in July 1789, 2 years after the United States passed its Constitution. The Constitution of the United States was aprobado by the Constitutional Congress in Philadelphia under the supervision of George Washington in 1787. And the final signing and approval was given on July 4th, the 4th of July, 1787. Now, almost exactly 2 years later, the French Revolution broke out in Paris with the taking of the Bastille. See, they tell me taking la toma de la Bastille. The taking of the Bastille. I think it was July 14th, but I'm not sure. But July 14th is also I can't remember. July 14 in France. What is it called? Bastille Day. That's what it is. La Dia de la Bastilla. Bastille Day is the common name given in English to the National Day of France, which is celebrated on the 14th of July each year. In French, it's formally called Fête Nationale. C'est Fiesta Nationale. And commonly referred to as le 14 juillet, 14 de julio, the 14th of July, like in English, the 4th of July for the American Revolution, the signing of the Declaration of Independence. However, the signing of the Declaration of Independence on the 4th of July was in 1776, not in 1787. And to tell you the truth, I don't know when the American Constitution was signed. The American Constitution. Constitution of the United States. It was created, it was presented, well, it was presented on September 28th, 1787. So less than 2 years before the French Revolution. But it was ratified, see, ratificar means finally approved, in June 1788. And it went into effect. It went into effect. Entró en vigor. To go into effect. To become effective. Se hizo efectivo. Se entró en efecto. Se dice en inglés. To go into effect in March 1789. Wow. 3 months before the taking of the Bastille in Paris. All right. It's an interesting constitution. This constitution has served as the model for many, many other constitutions. Interesting moment in history, the creation of a nation by humans, not a natural evolution in the formation of nations. But this was not artificial, because it was a real creation, but it was an intellectual creation, and not simply a creation through war and conquest and simple geographical positioning. But in any case, it's interesting. The French Revolution, the taking of the Bastille in July 1789, and the French Revolution lasted until 1794. Although some historians place the ending of the French Revolution with the fall of Napoleon in 1815. So it's much, much longer in that case. Interesting hypothesis. Well, it's an interesting theory, because Napoleon Bonaparte considered himself a defender of the French, of the ideals of the French Revolution. So, whatever. We'll see. Let's see what they say. French Revolution. Let's see if we can find if they give exact dates. The French Revolution. Let's see. The French Revolution. Here we are. Now, the dates they give, that's interesting. They say from May 1789, that's before the taking of the Bastille, to November 9th, my birthday, 1799, 10 years and 6 months. I wonder why they... I guess certain things started happening before the actual taking of the Bastille. But for me, it ended with, for me, the French Revolution ended with the guillotining, or the execution of Robespierre. And so that, for me, that was the end. Then the revolution took on a much calmer, after the Reign of Terror, the reaction, the Thermidorian reaction. Yeah. But there was still a lot of bloodshed. Bloodshed is derramamiento de sangre. We say blood shed. Shed, S-H-E-D. Shed significa cobertizo como a sustantivo. A shed. However, to shed is... cambiar de pelo. O de piel. Las serpientes o los perros que pierden. To shed. Let me see if I can find a good word for shed. S-H-E-D. Shed. Shed. Mudar de piel. Mudar la piel is to shed. But also dogs, el pelo, no la piel. We say shedding, the dog is shedding. But bloodshed is derramamiento de sangre. Let me see if I can find it. Blood shed. Bloodshed. Yes, derramamiento de sangre. So there was bloodshed even after the execution of Robespierre in 1794. And so, especially in southern France, they say there was a wave of revenge killings. Matanzas por venganza. Asesinatos. Directed against Jacobins. Okay, it was the reaction. Siempre hay reacción. That's why we have the word reaccionario. Now, when you say reactionary, people usually think of the far right, to the far right. But no, reactionary means you just react. People are reactionaries, but they react. But usually it comes from the right, because usually the crazy things come from the left, and things get out of control. And so there is a reaction, and it usually goes, the craziness goes right to left, well, goes left to right, and then the reaction is from the right to the left. All right. It's interesting, if you read the, I would say two of the most interesting moments in history in order to understand human nature and the social, in a social situation is to read, to study the history of Rome, the Republic, not the Empire, from maybe 135 BC up to the assassination of Julius Caesar in 44 BC, or if you want to extend it up to about 30 BC or 29 BC when Cleopatra and Mark Antony commit suicide and Octavian becomes Caesar Augustus. That period, 100 years basically, the last 100 years of the Republic, and then to study the 4 years of the French Revolution, the 4 or 5 years of the French Revolution. You study those two periods carefully and help people, what happens and how people react and things. You can reach some fairly interesting and, in my opinion, correct conclusions about human nature. Human nature. But in any case, but many other moments in history as well. Every single moment in history teaches you lessons. Las lecciones de la historia, the lessons of history. All right. So, did the French Revolution take place in the late 18th century? Yes, it did. It didn't take place in the mid 18th century, nor in the early 18th century. The most important event in the early 18th century was the War of the Spanish Succession. Yes. In which the Bourbons established their control of the Spanish throne. Okay, let's go on. But there was many, many countries were involved in that war. All right, was the wheel invented by the Egyptians? I don't think so. I'm not. Who invented the wheel? Who invented the wheel? Let's see if we can find out. The Mesopotamians. Who invented the wheel? Let's see. Because the wheel was invented before records were kept. Nobody can really know who invented the wheel or even which tribe, tribu, had the idea. However, the ancient Mesopotamian people are widely believed, Bopasima, are widely believed to have invented the wheel around 4100 BC. Okay. It is likely to have been invented independently in China around 2800 BC. Okay. Okay, the first wheels were actually potter's wheels. We'll say the alfarería, no? Potter's wheels, and were not used for transportation. All right. Okay. So, it goes back. One archaeologist has claimed to find evidence of a toy stone car that dates to around 5500 BC. However, evidence for this date remains unclear. So, inventing the wheel. So, the invention of the wheel is something very, very recent in human history. As simple as the wheel seems to be to you and me, it seems that it was not so clear. It was not so for people who, before us. And they were intelligent people. You go back 5,000 years. You go back to the year 5,000 BC, which, according to what I have just read, the wheel hadn't been invented yet. These people were not dumb. They were bright. They knew how to take care of themselves, but they didn't invent the wheel, apparently. Richard, you blush when you feel embarrassed. I think I do, but I haven't felt embarrassed so long. The last time I blushed, I think, was about 35 years ago. Yes, but I can't remember the last time I blushed. To blush is sonrojarse cuando se te suben los colores, mainly because you feel embarrassed. It's been a long, long, long time. It's been a long time. So are you supposed to shake a bottle of champagne before opening it? Are you crazy? No. Well, it depends. If you win the Formula One race, yes. When you're standing on the podium or to celebrate winning together with the person who was in second place and third place, you have bottles of champagne and you're supposed to shake them before opening them and then spray each other. They spray each other with champagne. Se rocian el uno al otro. They spray each other with champagne. However, if you want to drink champagne, it takes some practice a little bit, usually takes a little bit of practice to learn how to open bottles of champagne without losing champagne or without spewing or spraying champagne all over the table or all over the room, or hurting somebody when the cork flies out at the speed of light. You have to be careful. I only open one, maybe two bottles of champagne per year. I like champagne per year. But, and I open it very carefully. Just very, very slowly. But you can feel the pressure as you're slowly turning and twisting the cork. And you can feel the pressure to blow, to go up, boom. But the pressure comes out. It's an interesting way how that works. Because you open a bottle of wine, nothing. But it's the carbonation, it's the sparkling nature of champagne. It's also other types like 7-Up or Sprite or Casera. You know, the gaseosa here. Also, you need to be a little bit careful to shake it, or a Coca-Cola, for example. If you shake it, it'll spew out, spray out. Has there ever been a century without war? No, there's never been a century without war. War is a natural instinct of animals and plants. I mean, even the plant kingdom has wars. I mean, I often speak about the eucalyptus trees in Galicia and now Asturias, Cantabria, Basque Country. Even the French Basque Country now has eucalyptus trees. They are invading northern Spain and southern France. And it's a war. You plant eucalyptus and they'll start killing other trees around them. Maybe they do it unconsciously, of course. Do trees have a will? Voluntad tendrán, I suppose. They have a will. Arthur Schopenhauer certainly believes trees have will. His most famous publication, his most famous philosophical treatise was The World as Will and No Sé Qué. Arthur Schopenhauer, I can't remember the name of his most famous work. I can't remember, but it was called, I'm going to find out, El Mundo Como Voluntad, dicen, El Mundo Como Voluntad, y Representación, eso es, that's it, El Mundo Como Voluntad, I read that, The World as Will and Representation, I read that when I was in college, but I didn't finish it. He was talking, he said, even stones have will. And I said, that's going a little too far. Incluso las piedras tienen voluntad. But it's considered, it's the pinnacle of Schopenhauer's political thought. The pinnacle, pináculo, the pinnacle. El punto culminante, escrito pinacle, doble N, pinnacle. I mean, you have the word pináculo in Spanish, but I don't know what it means. Pinnacle, cumbre, cima, pináculo, sí dice pináculo aquí. What is a pináculo? The definition, parte más alto de un edificio monumental. Okay, yeah, it's the pinnacle of Schopenhauer's philosophy. The world as will and representation. I'll be right back.
Nuestros campamentos este año tienen un extra de diversión. Tanto si buscas un planazo de ciudad o darles un verano de multiaventura en inglés, tenemos un plan diseñado donde el aprendizaje y la diversión van de la mano. Más información en grupobauwan.com.
Nuestro curso online es único por una sencilla razón. Nuestros profesores son los mejores del mercado. Richard Vaughan, Ximena Holiday, Kyle Miller, Alberto Alonso, Richard Brown, nuestros All Stars desde cualquier lugar. Por menos de 30 céntimos al día. Quédate en casa y aprovecha para poner en forma tu inglés. Entra en la web cursodeinglesonlinevaughan.com e infórmate. Pruébalo durante 2 semanas y si no te gusta, te devolvemos el dinero. cursodeinglesonlinevaughan.com, porque hay muchos, pero solo uno de Vaughan.
¿Quieres recibir clase conmigo? Pues si quieres, tienes 200 horas de clase de inglés gratis en RTV a la carta. Ve a Google y escribe Vaughan RTV a la carta. Y presto, ahí verás más de 370 clases de media hora y cada día se añade una más. Desde principiante hasta avanzado, te llevo por todo lo necesario de mi idioma. Píldoras potentes de inglés. También hay libros de texto que acompañan al curso, pero son opcionales. Con o sin ellos, aprenderás mucho inglés o mejorarás.